while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
I will start by reading a quote from Charles Spurgeon. Our own Charles Spurgeon about love. And he said, "There is nothing in God which is little. His steadfast love is like himself. It's infinite. You cannot measure it." Amen. So greetings to you, church. Listeners on our radio and viewers on YouTube. My name is Joyce, and I'm here to share the word of God with you all. In Isaiah 55:10-11, the Lord says, "As the rain and the snow come down and does not return to it, does not return to heaven without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seeds for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that comes out of my mouth. It doesn't return to me empty, but it accomplishes what I desire and achieve the purpose to which I sent it." Amen. Today's theme, as we have seen already, is fuller than the fullest measure. And true to God's word that I've just read, as it's written in John 15:16 and Matthew 16:18, which we can read, it says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, that your fruit will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name." And the second one, "And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." True to these words of the Lord, Saul of Tarsus, who was a Pharisee and a chief persecutor of Christians, and in his own words in Acts 22:20, approved and watched the first Christian martyr, Stephen, stoned to death for preaching the gospel, was chosen and appointed by Jesus Christ as an instrument proclaim the same gospel that he despised to the Gentiles, their kings, and to Israel. So I'm going to give you a summary of the backstory leading to the text and the theme today. Paul's dramatic but humbling encounter with Jesus happened on the road to Damascus, where he had obtained letters from the high priest authorizing the arrest and imprisonment of every Christian that he found there. Paul was struck down by a mighty blinding light as he heard the voice of Jesus asking him why he is persecuting him. He readily surrendered to the sovereignty of the Lord and followed his leading for the recovery of his sight, as the scales fell off his eyes after being blinded for 3 days. This giving him a spiritual translation from darkness into light of the truth. He was then baptized into Christianity by Ananias. Paul embraced his calling as the apostle of the Gentiles and never looked back. Despite suffering extreme trials and tribulations, and having an ailment which he described as a thorn in his flesh. In his letter to the Romans, Paul expressed a strong determination to the gospel, and he said he would take the gospel of Jesus Christ to everywhere that Jesus is not known, so that he will not be building on someone else's foundation, and that those who are not told about Jesus will see, and those who are not heard will understand. Paul's zeal in spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ resulted in him establishing churches in every city that he preached to, and Ephesus is one of them. The Bible book of Ephesus, which is the focus of today's text and theme in the sermon, is one of Paul's 13 letters to the Gentile converts of churches that he planted, and also to certain individuals that he met on his missionary journeys, all of whom he affectionately described as saints, fellow workers, and the faithful in Christ. And I guess we can identify to that as a church. Paul knew Ephesus as the center of paganism with occult and idol worship. Hence his prayer for the believers in our text, that they should be strengthened in their innermost being by the power of the Holy Spirit, so that they can resist the intense cultural, economical, and social pressures that opposes them. He wrote to the Ephesian Christians when he was a prisoner in Rome by the Emperor Nero. He was in house arrest, but by the grace of the Lord, and probably by him being a Roman citizen, he was allowed in visitors who kept him abreast of the growth of the house churches in Ephesus, including the impact of his teachings in the lecture hall of Tyrannus, as well as some of the issues and situations outside and inside the church. And this is something that fulfills another scripture, that I will build my church, because he was in prison, but he was able to send all these messages to the churches. Paul managed all these situations by consistent prayers of supplications, intercessions, petitions, as well as admonitions, affirmations, appreciations, and encouragement through his letters, which he ensured their safe delivery by the hands of trusted fellow Christians like Tychicus and Onesimus, whom he mentioned in Ephesians 6:21 and Philemon 1:12. Now, Paul's intercessory prayer for the Christians are recorded in two sessions in the book of Ephesians. One is in Ephesians 1:15-20, and the second one is in Ephesians 3:14-21. The text, as well as the message of today's sermon, is taken from Paul's second prayer for the Ephesians, which is Ephesians 3:14-21. Paul communicated this prayer in an imagery of humility, reverence, and high praise to God, despite him being in chains, a phrase he repeatedly mentioned in his letters. So he prayed that out of his glorious riches, God may strengthen the saints with power through his Holy Spirit in their innermost being, so that Christ may dwell in their hearts through faith. He made this petition to the Lord with thanksgiving for the believers' faith in Christ Jesus and also their love for their fellow Christians. He also reminded them and encouraged them to practically live lives worthy of their calling. And their calling, Paul based it on as the chosen of the Lord and the dwelling which God lives by his Spirit. Again, he prayed that they would be rooted and established in love, the love that we've been singing about today, and do it together with all the saints and all the churches, and to grasp the dimensions and the magnitude of the love of Christ. And to know this love of Christ that passes knowledge, so that they may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And that is the theme today, fuller than the fullest measure. This brings us, obviously, to the question of how to be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God, or how to be fuller than the fullest measure. So, in preparing the hearts and minds of the church through the progression of his prayer as outlined in Ephesians 3, 14 to 21, Paul demonstrated how the church could attain the whole measure of the fullness of God in their lives. So, number one is unity in the body of Christ. So Paul brought his heartfelt prayer for the Ephesians home to their understanding by applying the contents of his prayer to their way of living in order to guide them in making the right choices in their walk of faith and also their witnesses before men. He placed a strong emphasis on keeping the unity of the Spirit in the church, a subject our Lord Jesus also prayed about for his disciples and for all believers in his priestly prayer before his arrest, as recorded in John 17, 11 and 20, 23, that they may be one as he is one with the Father. David also gained the importance of unity and dedicated Psalm 133 alone to the subject. He described unity as good and pleasant for brothers, as in you and me, to live together in it. And it is there, that is in the unity, that God bestows blessings and everlasting life. So unity, as we know, facilitates strength, growth, and survival. Therefore, the church is stronger together to thrive and do exploit for the kingdom of God in the full measure of the fullness of God than we are individually. And our worship time here in Pola on Sunday mornings are evident that God is here in his full measure. Any witness? We truly had that this morning. God is really here. Moses in Deuteronomy 32:30 says, one man chases 1,000, but two put 10,000 to flight by the power of God. Amen. Paul therefore urged the church in Ephesus, including us, PHBC, to make every effort to keep walking in unity through the bond of love and in peace, the peace of the Lord that passes understanding. He meant the peace that Jesus awarded his disciples. It is the peace that we are to seek and pursue in fullness of Christ, who fills everything in every way, one body of one Spirit, with one Lord, one mediator, one hope, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father, from whom all his whole family in heaven and earth derives its name. We are the body of Christ together, serving corporately in our diversities through various spiritual gifts that our Father has accorded each one of us. As apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, ushers, singers, encouragers, and many more, including measures of faith and grace to make us fuller than the fullest measure in our communities. All these spiritual gifts are what Paul says we all should eagerly desire as Christians. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do in building his church together. For there is no Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for we all are one in Christ. Hallelujah. So the second thing that Paul dwelled on was being insistent in his letter to the Ephesian believers to walk in the precept of the gospel as he taught them, with renewed hearts and minds, and to live as dearly loved children who had been called out of darkness of Satan's domain into God's kingdom of light. Paul used his own personal experience as a sinner saved by grace to illustrate how desperate the sinful nature craves and follows its own selfish desires and thoughts as a way of life. He then urged the Ephesians to put off their old self with all its deceitful desires and put on the new life in Christ as being imitators of God their Father by the power of the Holy Spirit, so that their light will so shine before men that they will praise their Father in heaven when they see their good deeds. And it will be through the fruits of the Holy Spirit that lives in them. And the fruit of the Holy Spirit we will find in Galatians 5:22. So I will just go through them. It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So the Apostle Paul himself is a great example of a vessel filled to the measure of the fullness of God. And the Bible says, God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that handkerchiefs and aprons that touch him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirit left. What a power, what a powerhouse. So we pray that God blesses us with that, to be fuller than the fullest measure. Thirdly, Paul used the profound mystery about Christ and the church to admonish married couples in the church to walk in God's will and his image bearers. He asked wives to submit to their husband as to the Lord in everything, as the church submits to Christ the head. And wives in the church, for your lesson, read Proverbs 31:10-31. That is a noble wife who can find. And for husbands, to love your wives as Christ loved the church and give himself for her, to make her holy with the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant bride without stain, wrinkle, or blemish. This Paul said to encourage self-discipline, godly leadership, devoted teamwork, selfless sacrifice, committed partnership, and lasting relationship to be modeled in two members of his body that have become one flesh in their marriage covenant. The prophet Malachi also addressed the subject by admonishing husbands to guard themselves in their spirit and not to break faith with the wives of their youth, because the Lord has made them one in flesh, and in spirit they are his, for the purpose of godly outcome of the union to his glory. So no wonder Paul prayed for the saints, for their innermost strength, because that is where everything begins, and by the power of the Holy Spirit as their spiritual foundation for attaining the fullness of God in their lives and in their ministry. Fourthly, another way of being fuller than the fullest measure, Paul addressed children to obey their parents in the Lord. And honor your fathers and mothers so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God has given you with all the blessings. Disobedience of any form displeases the Lord. And we will find that in 1 Samuel 15:22, where the Lord told Samuel that it's better to obey than to sacrifice. So disobedience must be dealt with from early stage before the devil takes a foothold. Disobedience delays the purpose of God in your lives and robs you of God's promise of teaching you his word to have his great grace and peace, and also the blessing you to be the best in the land. God said, if you are willing and obedient, you will have the best of the land. And disobedience also prevents us from attaining the whole measure of God, which is his will. Solomon sums it so beautifully to the youngsters and say, remember your creator, the days of your youth before trouble comes. And this is where you will say, I find no faith. And we can find this in Ecclesiastes 12:1. And to parents, Paul says, do not provoke your children with your anger, parents. In your anger, do not sin, and do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Don't tear your family down with unwholesome talk. When the pressure is on, parents, turn your eyes on Jesus for the solution. And never compromise your children's wrong ways, but reason with them as the Lord God will do with us. He says in Isaiah 1:18, come now and let's reason together. So train up the children the way they should go, and they will never turn from it when they are old. Build them up upon the foundations of God's instruction as written. Keep your position as the watchman and pray ceaselessly until your children come to faith with you in Jesus Christ. Because there is hope in Christ for your children. His word in Isaiah 49:17-18 already settled it. And it's a glorious hope that never disappoints anyone who calls on Jesus, the name above all names, above all thrones, and above all powers. It's above all kings. So keep praying. Amen. Finally, Paul talks about slaves and masters and uses it to admonish them to be fuller than the fullest measure. In Paul's generation, servitude from slaves was a normal practice. Hence, he's addressing them in his letter to the Ephesians. He pleaded with the slave convert to obey their earthly masters with respect in everything. Also, not to pay eye service in order to win their favor from their masters, but to work sincerely with their heart as to the Lord. Again, he urged them to work with all their hearts as working for the Lord and not for man, since they know that they will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord that rewards, not man. And I guess all these that Paul said are relevant to us as Christian employees for our various organizations and practices. Paul also used his trade as a tent maker for a living to advise employees to refrain from stealing from their organizations and do something with their own hands so that they can have something to share with those in need. Because we are all blessed to be a blessing, we should work with our hands. Hallelujah. This is the way to measure up, to being fuller than the fullest measure. And to masters and bosses, then it's masters, but now it's bosses, managers, owners, kings and queens, and all the people in authority. Paul pleaded, as required by the Lord, who is the Lord of all lords and the King of all kings, to do justly and love mercy with no favoritism with your subjects and walk humbly with your God. So in conclusion, all these hows and how we're going to do it and how and how and how can only be achieved by prayer through the power of the Holy Spirit who dwells in us by faith in Christ. He works in us to will and to do according to his good pleasure. For in him we live and move and have our being. His power gives us strength to overcome our human weaknesses. According to Paul, we all are nature of subjects of wrath and have fallen short of God's glory. But because of God's great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy and compassion, has made us alive in Christ. And from the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after the other. And this is the mystery of Christ, which had been hidden for ages and generations, but now disclosed to the saints, the apostles and the prophets, whom God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches in his mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information, or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.